It's Friday!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 26th day of August, 2022. My God, August is almost over. The summer is plumb running away from us. And, well, it is a beautiful Friday here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by Cole Manchinia Stan. Hi, I'm Robin. And, of course, being Friday, that means we are not far away from Friday on the Front Porch, our scintillating end-of-the-week conversation, touching upon any and everything that's on the community's mind. If you'd like to be part of that, well, there's a button at the top at headon.live, and it'll carry you over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday, and where Sparky sits as master of ceremonies with the lightsaber. Yes. But as much news as there is today, every program here at the Horn does in fact begin with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we have many thanks to give out. Well, some thanks to give out to our 26th day of the month subscribers. And that in particular means thank you. Thank you to Ken for the Radical Self-Interest Challenge. Thank you to Emilio. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to Sharon. And well, there we have it. Thank you all so very much for being partial sponsors of the program. And what that means is that in order to come up even with this 26th day of the month, we need to raise $1,855. And I know that sounds so daunting, but, well, that's just, you know, I mean, maybe if we were running ads for Stupid Beats or, you know, Bose Wave radios or mattresses or Buy Gold Now. But we're not, because the program is not oriented toward that kind of predatory capitalism. And so those who can keep this program afloat. And so, yes, the hole is $1,855 deep. If you want to help out, the PayPal button is over at headon.live. The Patreon button is under contribute. And we'll do the best we can. And hopefully, we will not end the month of August in some sort of ginormous hole, because that makes keeping this whole thing going monumentally difficult. And let's see, I did the Hi, I'm Robin part. A note to begin the program. I hadn't heard from Cynthia in a while, and she did write, and she said, it's been rough for me. This was a couple of days ago. 1 week ago today, the wrong person died. I lost my youngest sister to pancreatic cancer. She would have been 67 in September. Spent the money to fly out August 2nd for a week to see her before she passed. I'm glad I went. And I'll say that my sister was a nurse in the cancer ward of a well-known clinic and did much throughout her nursing days to help and ease the suffering of cancer patients. It's a cruel irony that she got and suffered from this cancer. Anyway, I'm missing her horribly, Cynthia says. She wasn't just my sister, she was my friend, and the world is a poorer place for her loss. Like I said, the wrong person died, and now I'm dealing with the grief, a terrible thing to have to deal with, as I'm sure you can imagine. I'm sorry for the downer email, but fuck cancer. Hear, hear. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, Cynthia, for your grief. So very sorry. Pancreatic cancer is a particularly awful form of an awful disease. Goodness. And I hope that it never goes away, but I hope the pain can and the grief can ease somewhat. I need to check on a noise real quick. What's going on? Stand by for just a second. I'm sorry. Okay, all better. Thank you for your patience. Ralph's with a note says, come on, people, can we at least get under 1,000? Lassie! Yeah, I know. It's a good thing we don't have the reverb. I'd have to crank it up to 11. Speaking of momentous days, today, I saw my Facebook memories today, and it turns out that today is exactly a year ago. A year ago exactly today, maybe that's a better way to put it, I saw for the first time in 35 years my dear friend and sister, Miss Terry Ellen, down at Gulf Shores, Alabama. And it was a wondrous day indeed. And she's been there with me every step of the way in this last year or so. And just wonderful. Just wonderful. I repost the picture that we took that day down in the beach house. And it was... Well, it was a day like no other. Yeah. And let's see, today, had a general wellness visit with my general practitioner, and I felt generally well, felt generally fantastic, and got an overall clean bill of health. So that's always a plus. I had a really, really sweet moment before I went. You know, just the little minutia of day-to-day living. My little granddaughter, when I'm getting ready to go somewhere, I do my makeup here in the studio because I've got a ring light back here because sometimes I have to do video things and right. So I was doing my makeup and. She came back here and said, can I watch? Yeah. I said, sure. And she watched every step of the way of what I did. She you know, she watched me put on the primer. She watched me put on the color corrector, and she watched me put on the foundation, and she watched me do my eyebrows, and then we started on the eyeshadow. And she was absolutely fascinated with that. And she's learning big words, and I just love it. She said, do you enjoy doing that? I said, I do. I really like it. And she said, it must be very satisfying. I said, it is. It must be very satisfying. She said it absolutely properly and pronounced everything right. And it just sent a thrill through my soul. And then when all was said and done, she said, thank you. I enjoyed that. And then said, and you're beautiful, Opa. She still calls me Opa, and that's okay. And it was one of the most beautiful moments that I think I've had in recent memory. Absolutely glorious. And I said, well, you know, I said, you've got a birthday coming up. And she said, yeah. I said, how old will you be? I said, your birthday's next month. And she said, yes. I said, how old will you be? She said, I'll be 5. I said, that's awfully grown up. She said, yeah, Opa, but not too grown up. I don't want to grow up too fast. I want to stay and be a kid for a while. Oh, that's just beautiful. I said, you do that. Don't you be in any hurry at all, honey. And so that just got the day going with a certain sweetness and joy. And so, put me in a good mood, to say the least. And finding out that everything is pretty much copacetic, and yeah, it was good. It was a good day. Pretty day. And thank you to Steve in New York for sending along the affidavit in support of an application under Rule 41 for a warrant to search and seize. I looked for it earlier, and like Steve said, it's kind of hard to find because all you find is people talking about it and not the actual document. Because today was Fridaffidavit Day Friday. That's a non-word. But today was the day that the affidavit in support of the search warrant for Mayor DeLardes was made public with redactions. For instance, the name of the person seeking the search warrant was redacted. And it tells us a few things. The government is conducting a criminal investigation concerning the improper removal and storage of classified information in unauthorized spaces, as well as the unlawful concealment or removal of government records. The investigation began as a result of a referral the United States National Archives and Records Administration, NARA, sent to the United States Department of Justice on February 9, 2022, here and after NARA referral. And it stated that on January 18, 2022, in accordance with the Presidential Records Act, NARA received from the office of former President Donald J. Trump, here and after FPOTUS, oh, that's beautiful, FPOTUS, former President Donald J. Trump, FPOTUS, via representatives, 15 boxes of records, here and after the 15 boxes. The 15 boxes, which had been, and you know, if this was like one of John D. McDonald's iconic Travis McGee novels, there was a color in every novel title that, of the books he wrote. This would maybe be the 15 orange boxes, which had been transported from the FPOTUS property at 1100 South Ocean Boulevard, otherwise known as the premises. A residence and club known as, I love the known as, Mar-a-Lago. It's got, you know, there's some boilerplate, you know, some basic housekeeping that goes on. But there is an assertion in paragraph 3 The FBI's investigation has established that documents bearing classification markings, which appear to contain national defense information, were among the materials contained in the 15 boxes and were stored at the premises in an unauthorized location, followed by a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line redaction. Further, there's probable cause to believe that additional documents that contain classified NDI or that are presidential records are subject to record retention requirements currently remain at the premises. There's also probable cause. This is a good one. There's also probable cause to believe that evidence of obstruction will be found at the premises. So, you know, one way to look at this is that there's some serious stroke stoking taking place in the pages of this document. The affiant says, I'm a special agent with the FBI, assigned to the Washington field office, and gives qualifications. And paragraph 7, source of evidence. The facts set forth in this affidavit are based on my personal knowledge, knowledge obtained during my participation in this investigation, and information obtained from other FBI and U.S. government personnel. Because this affidavit is submitted for the limited purpose of establishing probable cause in support of the application for a search warrant, it does not set forth each and every fact that I or others have learned during the course of this investigation. In other words, there's a lot more stuff. Paragraph 8 cites the controlling statute, and paragraph 9 describes the means by which information becomes classified. Paragraph 10 talks about unauthorized disclosure and what that can do in terms of national security. That's the definition of confidential. Paragraph 11 is the definition of sensitive compartmented information, which is, by the way, information concerning or derived from intelligence sources, methods, or analytical processes, which is required to be handled within formal access control systems. And then special intelligence, SI, that's paragraph 12, sensitive compartmented information control system designed to protect technical and intelligence information derived from the monitoring of foreign communication signals by other than intended recipients. So there was what is often called SIGINT in the boxes. And there was human intelligence material as well, per paragraph 13. Information from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I mean, this is lengthy stuff. And then there is a citation to 18 U.S. Code, Section 1519, whoever knowingly alters, destroys, mutilates, conceals, covers up, falsifies, or makes a false entry in any record, document, or tangible object with the intent to impede, obstruct, or influence the investigation or proper administration of any matter within the jurisdiction of any department or agency of the United States, or in any case filed under Title 11, or in relation to or contemplation of any such matter or case, shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 20 years, or both. And then 18 U.S.C. 2071, that's conceal, removal, mutilate, obliterate, destroy, or attempts to do so with intent to do so, takes and carries away, yada, yada, yada. That's a not more than 3 years felony and a fine. Then there's 44 U.S.C. 2201, Presidential Records Act. And paragraph 24, 25, 26 goes on to lay out the essential facts leading to the allegation of the potential criminality. And in particular, the NARA, this is the revenge of the librarians part, by the way, the affidavit itself contains a screenshot of, yes, one of those lovely, lovely statements that he put out via email when he didn't, yeah. In other words, the confession, I don't know why they don't call it that, the confession.
The National Archives did not find anything. They were given, upon request, presidential records in an ordinary and routine process to ensure the preservation of my legacy and in accordance with the Presidential Records Act. If there was anyone but Trump, there would be no story here. Instead, the Democrats are in search of their next scam.
It's lovely when your words come back to bite you in an affidavit for a search warrant. Paragraph 26, blank. Paragraph 27, blank. Paragraph 28, blank. Paragraph 29, blank. And then we learn boxes containing documents were transported from the White House to Mar-a-Lago. According to paragraph 30, according to a CBS Miami article entitled Moving Trucks Spotted at Mar-a-Lago, published Monday, January 18, 2021, at least two moving trucks were observed at the premises on January 18, 2021. So I guess they were flown and then driven to Merida Lardass. There's a great big redacted photograph, I guess. And there's more redactions than actual words thereafter. And we learned that on or about May 6, 2021... NARA made a request for the missing PRA records and continued to make requests until approximately late December 2021. Let's see, 12 minus 5. That's 7 months. When NARA was informed 12 boxes were found and ready for retrieval. That meant they'd been gone through. Then redactions up through paragraph 46. And May 16th to 18th, FBI agents conducted a preliminary review of the 15 boxes. Then we've got more redactions, paragraphs 48 through 52. And in paragraph 52, we learn in the second such letter, which is attached as Exhibit 1, F. POTUS Council 1 asked DOJ to consider a few principles, which include F. POTUS Council 1's claim that a president has absolute authority to declassify documents. This must be one of the, personal injury lawyers that Nitwit Nero hired for in this letter, FPOTUS Council 1 requested, among other things, that DOJ provide this letter to any judicial officer who is asked to rule on any motion pertaining to this investigation or on any application made in connection with any investigative request concerning this investigation. Oh, Lord. Paragraph 53, we find out a little bit about our affiant's reading habits. Well, not really reading habits. I'm aware of an article published in that on that website that rhymes with light and fart. No, he didn't put it that way. Gives the link, which states that Kash Patel, who is described as a former top FPOTUS administration official, characterized as misleading reports in other news organizations that NARA had found classified materials among records that FPOTUS provided to NARA from Mar-a-Lago. Patel alleged such reports were misleading because FPOTUS had declassified the materials at issue. You know, because he can magically declassify things with the wave of his... Well, never mind. Paragraphs 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60 are all blank. And paragraph 61 explains that the DOJ explained that... to FPOTUS Council 1, that Merida Lardass is not an authorized place to store classified information. Explaining, as I previously indicated to you, Mar-a-Lago does not include a secure location authorized for the storage of classified information. As such, it appears that since the time classified documents identified, redacted, were removed from the secure facilities at the White House and moved to Mar-a-Lardass on or around January 20th, 2021. They've not been handled in an appropriate manner or stored in an appropriate location. And even at the point when the FBI went in and seized these things, they were just, some of the stuff was just lying about. Lying about what, Robin? No. They were just laying around. And when they lay around Mara Lardass, they really lay around Mara Lardass. Oh, sorry. And then by June 9th, 2022, FOPOTUS Council 1 sent an email to DOJ Council stating,
I write to acknowledge
the receipt of this letter. And then lots more redactions. Someday maybe we'll know what those redactions were. Maybe like at trial. Paragraph 70 begins the probable cause argument, which is largely redacted up through paragraph 77. Based upon this investigation, I believe that the storage room, FOPOTUS's residential suite, Pine Hall, the 45 office, and other spaces within the premises are not currently authorized locations for the storage of classified information or NDI. Similarly, based upon this investigation, I do not believe that any spaces within the premises have been authorized for the storage of classified information, at least since the end of FOPOTUS's presidential administration on January 20th, 2021. God, he has to love that paragraph, assuming he can read it.
My presidential administration never ended. I'm still the president. I'm still the 45.
Evidence of the subject offenses has been stored in multiple locations at the premises, paragraph 78. And requests authorization to search the 45 office and all storage rooms and any other rooms or locations where boxes or records may be stored within the premises as further described in Attachment A. The premises is currently closed to club members for the summer. Imagine paying all that money to go to that shitty pile of bricks and they won't even let you in the summer. However, as specified in Attachment A, if at the time of the search there are areas of the premises being occupied, rented, or used by third parties and not otherwise used or available to be used by FOPOTUS and his staff, the search would not include such areas. It also includes a section on search procedures for handling potential attorney-client privileged information. It's not like they were unaware of how to do that. J.I. Bratt received a lawyer on May the 25th. I guess that's FOPOTUS. This is from FOPOTUS Council 1. M. Evan Corcoran. It's three pages of terrible lawyering. And, you know, the juicy stuff, to say the least, is not there. We're going to have to wait for an indictment or a trial or something along those lines. And even then, the confidential stuff won't come out. Darlene in Connecticut points out, there was also this, per the Washington Post interpretation, blue-penciled. Part of the Espionage Act outlaws gathering, transmitting, or losing national defense information. Losing. The warrant also cites destruction of records and concealment or mutilation of government material. I wonder if that includes flushing it down the toilet or eating it. And by the way, just a little viewing tip. Over on Netflix, there's a wonderful film Colin Firth stars called Operation Mincemeat, based upon a true story from World War II. And I was reminded of that when I saw the part about losing classified information. The story was only declassified by the British government in like 1997. And it's a deception story of how the British government put together a scam to make the Germans think that the Allies were going to invade Greece and not Sicily. And it worked. I mean, that's historical knowledge. But lost information. Yeah. Stephen, New York, affidavit observations. One, the 12 boxes versus 15 boxes thing kind of confused me. In the letter from his lawyer in Exhibit 1, the lawyer mentions 18 U.S.C. 1924. This struck me as essentially a non sequitur because, as I understand it, whether he chanted the document's declassificandum charm over the documents really is not an issue here. The issue was him having having U.S. government documents more generally, not necessarily whether he had classified documents. Yeah, it's part of a larger, you know, a larger class of documents that he was not authorized to have via the National Archives and, yeah, NARA. Randy Radar says, you know, they can pull sneak and peeks on a residence, which conceivably gives opportunity for Homeland Security agencies to plant evidence, doesn't it? And so far as I'm aware, there's no public warrant for such sneak and peeks. I don't think we've got a sneak and peek situation here. I mean, he was seen carrying the stuff, you know, that language of larceny, stole, took, and carried away. Mm-hmm. The trucks at Mar-a-Lardass. But he fooled them. He fooled them with the strawberries. Undeniable mathematical logic and geometric precision. The Queeg presidency. Oh, and by the way, just on a broader general heading. Today is a Women's Equality Day, marking the ratification of the 19th Amendment. Thanks for reminding me, Dave, which established women's suffrage in the United States. That's momentous. Darlene in Connecticut asks, you think maybe the FBI should also be getting a search warrant for Bedmonster? Looking for a friend, and was Ivana cremated or buried whole?
Hurry, quick, shove these documents in the crematorium or in her box, yells treasonous Trump.
Well, she was, in fact, cremated, and then she was buried in a casket there on the premises of Bedmonster. Dig her up! Dig her up, I say! Oh, Jesus. How did this country get to this point? We know he was crooked. We know he's crooked as a dog's hind leg. We know that when he finally goes to his long home, they'll have to put an auger on the power takeoff of a tractor and screw him into the dirt. But you have to blame the people of the United States for this too. What the is wrong with us? This might be a point where it becomes worth mentioning that part of the infamous Powell memo of 1972, written by Lewis Powell, remember that? May have actually talked about the need to make college more expensive so less people would go and more people would be unable to understand the fundamental intricacies of modern life. Well, thank you, Jude. Now, Jude just sent along a note, having heard Cynthia's note from a couple of days back. Jude sends along a picture of her sister and dear friend, Mary, taken August 26, 2019. Taken while they were traveling to El Paso. 3 months after that, Mary passed away. Jude says, I'm focusing on Cynthia from this physical distance, yet in spirit very close, and may she sense this. And I'm donating to the horn this day for the love and, yes, the deep loss Cynthia's walking through in peace. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And so, we are down to $1,805 for fundraising. Thank you, Jude. That's very sweet. And your spirit is always broad and open and kind and good. Thank you. Christopher in Oregon. Donnie's truck's full of stuff. Donnie voice. Thanks for the cue.
I love truckers. I love all big trucks. They honk their horn at me every time they see me.
All right. Were those Ryder trucks, Dave asks? Judge Merrick Garland knows about Ryder trucks after the McVeigh trial, you know. Ivana's casket was reportedly very heavy. Cremated remains? This all just stinks, doesn't it? I mean, it's hard to express otherwise. God Almighty. And in the wake of the release of the affidavit, over at Axios, an article written by Elena Treen and Aaron Dort. And it talks about the general mood in the bunker there with Nitwit Nero. DOJ reduce, if you want to go find it, DOJ releases redacted Mar-a-Lago search affidavit, which we just went through. And along the way, the authors, the reporters note that there's been a, their word, shift in Trump world over the last few days after the search took place. They write, particularly after conservative John Solomon published a May 10th letter from the National Archives that revealed Trump took more than 700 pages of highly classified material with him after leaving office. They continue, many Trump allies have grown quiet in recent days. I mean, wait a minute. This might just actually call for... some background music. And I have just the thing. Come on. Because sometimes it's a little piece of theater. It's going to be worth it. We're doing some near naked radio today, by the way. It's 85 degrees in the studio. Not that anybody really needed to know that. But here we go. This just fits. Many Trump allies have grown quiet in recent days after
initially leaning hard into their criticism of the search. There's a renewed weariness that has seeped into some of the private conversations among Trump advisors and those in his orbit as more of these facts are released to the public, adding to a growing feeling there may be some justification for the search. Among the documents was intelligence information from clandestine human sources, which are among the most tightly held government secrets. FBI agents also seized binders of photos, a handwritten note, information about the President of France, and the grant of clemency made by Trump to Roger Stone, an ally of the former president. And so it is that in the bunker, some of the most hardcore, loyal maggots have begun to tentatively finger the packets of cigarettes tucked in their jacket pockets. As everybody knows that Trump hates smoking. But they're wondering if someday soon they might pull forth a Marlboro or a Sierra Gold, maybe a Camel or a Pall Mall from their pocket, reach into the other pocket, and pull out a book of matches that encourages the holder to reproduce a drawing of a pirate or a turtle in order to receive a degree in political science from a correspondence college. Yes, they are weary in the bunker, my darling. Weary indeed. A renewed weariness, as I said, that has seeped into private conversations. I don't think our Orange God Emperor is doing too well these days, my darling Clementine. Give my best to our darlings, Chlamydia Jean and Syphilis, and tell them it may be a while before Papa gets to come home again. If ever. My darling, I write you with great weariness of spirit here in the bunker. I can hear him bellowing again. I suppose I'd better get to it. Forever yours, your darling, and OBDT-SVT, Nathan Bedford Forrest Gump. Well, I liked it. I thought it was okay. I thought it would. Yeah. There's never a bad time for that fiddle tune. Oh, but sakes! And among other things, one of the reasons that the DOJ didn't want the affidavit to come out was that there are more suspects in the case, and the DOJ was concerned that they follow that most essential of the three commandments of W.C. Fields, namely, don't smarten up a chump. The language in particular read, it is respectfully requested that this court issue an order sealing until further order of the court all papers submitted in support of this application, including the application and search warrant. That's in the affidavit.
I believe that sealing this document is necessary because the items and information to be seized are relevant to an ongoing investigation, and the FBI has not yet identified all potential criminal confederates. Oh, nicely done. They used the affiant used the word confederates, nor located all evidence related to its investigation. And hence the voluminous redactions. And so there at Merida Lardass, there are probably lots and lots of confederates who are trying to figure out how they could maybe yet get away with it. And you know, from time to time, we talk about how this program has a way of being so far ahead of the curve, it feels like we're on straight road. And this is another of those moments. Oh, well, thank you. Suman says, cowbell for Nathan Bedford Forrest Gump, please. And not the darling daughters, Chlamydia Jean and Cy Phyllis. Oh, I'm just being greedy now. But one of the things we talked about is that it had to have been impossible to work there in Mara Lardass, especially at high levels, and not realize that if one had anything vaguely resembling a modicum of basic human intelligence, that it must have been impossible not to note that they were dealing with President Captain Queeg. Everything but the ball bearings and the talk about the strawberries. And the geometric logic. Well, it turns out we've been confirmed. Back out there on the straight road again. Well, thank you, Todd. Todd, that just warms my heart. Todd says, in regard to the previous musical interlude, yes, I felt it coming. So appreciate the appropriateness of the Lost Cause music. Yeah, I know. Just. I love it when y'all get it. But anyway, no, this is more of that so far ahead of the curve where we feel like we're on straight road business. Because it turns out that, remember Don McGahn? He was White House counsel at one point. Basically the same office or the same position that a fellow by the name of John Dean once occupied. Well, it turns out Don McGahn, who was kind of unique there in that he didn't have the highfalutin legal sheepskin from Harvard or Yale or Stanford or any of those. No, he had a little law degree from some draw spunky school of law, and he had, by virtue of hard work, I mean, credit where credit's due. I mean, he was a Republican, a scumbag, but still. But he had gotten into some pretty rarefied atmosphere that is not often open to people who didn't go to Ivy law schools and the like. Well, McGahn, among other things, picked Nitwit Nero's judges for him and basically just pulled names off the list from that had been generated for him by the Federalist Society. But 6 months after he took the job, he realized that this was not quite the plum position that he thought it was, and maybe it was more like a prune. Because, of course, there's a there's a new book out. And the new book, wow, this is a great title. Servants of the Damned. It's published by the New York Times Magazine. And they write, for his part, McGahn was growing worried about his own potential legal exposure, especially when Trump in June 2017 pushed him to fire Robert Mueller. The author is David Enrich. McGahn refused and contemplated quitting. Around then, he called the managing partner of the Jones Day Law Firm, which is a highfalutin, silk stocking, right-wing legal chop shop. And, well, McGahn wasn't willing to fire Mueller for nitwit Nero. And he called the managing partner, Stephen Brogan, the boss, to whom Don McGahn explained, listen, I took this job. I agreed to take this job. But this guy is nuts. He's knuckin' futs. He's cray-cray. He's woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. And went on to say, listen, boss, I'm going to cut my losses and come back to work at the firm. But because he was managing partner at Jones Day, and because these highfalutin law firms have a way of getting away with doing something that is generally frowned upon in the law called self-dealing, Brogan wanted Brogan wanted the job as personal outside counsel to Nitwit Nero. I guess he hadn't figured out yet that Nitwit Nero was not known for paying his billable hours. And there were Jones Day people all over the place. But wasn't there a story, I think maybe Darlene and I talked about this some years ago, about how Jones Day was notorious for how shittily it treated women? But nonetheless, Jones Day was a highfalutin outfit, and the Nitwit Nero administration was absolutely bulging at the wall with Jones Day lawyers. And after Don McGahn told him, you know, he's, God damn it, he's crazy. He's insane. He's walking around rolling ball bearings in his hands and talking about strawberries and ice cream. Brogan said, being unhappy is not a good enough reason to quit. If you quit this quick after joining the White House team, it'll look bad on Jones Day. And this happened at a time when Don McGahn had actually packed up the shit in his office. But having been told by the boss to stick around and take one for the team, go out and take one in the neck. That's what Casey Stengel told Marvelous Marv Throneberry once in the, 1962 Mets? And so he stuck around and helped dump Brat Kavanaugh on us. But he knew 6 months into the job that he was working for a guy who wasn't playing with a full deck. Yeah, two also, says Irish Dave, he's completely out of his orange tree. Oh! Okay. Cowbell for Irish Dave. Those are not ball bearings, they're BBs, because tiny hands. Yes, absolutely. And there's the story. Thank you, Ralph, serving as the Hornet Hawk Research Department. From March of 2021, five female lawyers dropped sex bias pay claims against Jones Day. Apparently there was a settlement. Jones Day wrote the check. I thought I remembered that correctly. Thank you, Ralphs. No, says Lee in New York. Not strawberries. Captain Crunchy Food is counting buckets of fried chicken. What the KFC? Okay, small jingle. Well done. Thank you. Thank you to Lady B jumping in and getting us down below at the $1,800 mark. We're down to $1,795. Thank you so very much. Okay, I'll tell you again, Randy Radar. Tell me again, Robin, how there's no deep state. There's no deep state. There's no deep state. At least not in the way that is envisioned or paranoidly fantasized by the people who, you know, believe Nitwit Nero. And you know how they said that the FBI said, the DOJ said, you know, there may be more Confederates out there. Well, one of the Confederates who was telling Nitwit Nero that he didn't have to give up the classified documents was none other than a blithering boob who shows up on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and considers himself a legal analyst by the name of Tom Fitton. Over at CNN, they said, Fitton, the longtime head of the legal activist group Judicial Watch, had a simple message for Trump. It was a mistake to give the records to the archives, and his team should never have let the archives strong-arm him into returning them. Oh, Jesus. Those records belong to Trump, Fitton argued. And he said, well, I mean, Judicial Watch, we had a case once. It was 2012, and the case gives the former president the authority to do what he wanted with records from his own term in office. And Dum Dum believed them. This is silly, man. Confederates. Can't get over that. That cannot have just been a bit of idle legal drafting. At least it doesn't seem like. And now people who actually worked for him are running around trying to put a little distance between him and them. Former DHS Chief of Staff Miles Taylor and White House Director of Strategic Communications Alyssa Farah Griffin showed up on CNN talking about the whole Tom Fitton thing. And Miles Taylor said, well, you know, we've seen this story so many times that Donald Trump is getting his advice from television. He ran his presidency that way. We used to joke that Lou Dobbs was the deputy chief of staff at the White House because he would literally say to you, did you watch Lou Dobbs last night? And it would be some popcorn cockamamie policy idea. And now he's actually in real legal trouble, and he's still taking advice from people on TV and playing Game of Thrones again. Though the difference is this time, you know, he's in a bad position. Playing Game of Thrones again. Oh, by the way, there's a black actor in Game of Thrones, the new prequel. and all kinds of white folks are having fits. So,
well, you can't have a black guy in a fictitious series about a fictitious world that never existed, because there weren't any black people in the fictitious world in the fictitious series based on a fictitious book. Ah!
It is occasionally, at least, humorously entertaining. He's watching the TV. Muriel, come on, he's watching the TV again. And in point of fact, 12 minutes ago, Nitwit Nero purporting to, and I gotta, is this, it, this might actually be a violation of the law. I don't think it's legal to purport to show a document that is the official document of the court system of the United States of America. August 26, 2022, statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America.
They missed a page.
And so it's a bunch of redaction bars, the black bars that you see in the affidavit. And it says, and the only words that are not redacted are,
make America great again.
They missed a page. And then there's, you know, case 922 MJ083332BER document 102I. Entered on FLSD docket 826-2022, page 39 of 38. That is a counterfeit document. Isn't it? Isn't it a crime to counterfeit official documents of the United States of America? Looks like another one of those Confederates got loose again. Judicial Watch asks Ron in Raleigh. Guess who the man behind the curtain of Judicial Watch is? That's right, Leonard Leo. There he is again. That guy's everywhere, isn't he? He's here, he's there, he's every fucking where. Leonard Leo. Yeah, I like it better when it's Roy Kent. It's a Ted Lasso reference. Of course he is. And one of the pettifoggers that works for Nitwit Nero was in court today. He's asking for dismissal via an appeal. Dismissal of a civil suit that was filed by a Capitol Police officer. And the suit accuses Nitwit Nero of inciting the terrorist attack on the capital of the United States of January 6, 2021. He's going back, trying again to get it dismissed. Scott McFarlane reporting for CBS. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is going to an appeals court to again seek dismissal of a civil suit filed by a Capitol Police officer. The suit accuses him of provoking the January 6th attack, arguing absolute immunity. Notice of appeal.
Defendant Donald J. Trump, maximum former president, maximum 45th president of the United States, hereby gives notice of his appeal to the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit from this court's order entered on August 2nd, 2022, denying defendant's motion to dismiss, particularly with respect to his defense of absolute immunity.
So he got slam dunked, and he's appealing the slam dunking from the same court that slam dunked him.
So much winning. You're going to get so tired of the winning.
Yeah. Lee says, can't have black people on fictitious shows. Hold my saurian brandy, Lieutenant Uhura. Yeah. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Thank you, Lee. And so that's the filler obster. for this Friday on the Front Porch, the 26th of August. And let's see if maybe we can bring things down from 1795. Thank you to Jude and Lady B for getting us started. Thank you so much. There's other stuff that we need to get to. And I agree with you. Christopher says, that guy Leonard Leo is America's enemy number one. No one on the planet is more of a threat, and that includes Pootie. I think there may be some truth in that. And let's see. Everything plugged up and charged up. Politico reporting. Thank you, Darlene. Defendants charged or targeted in Ron Monkey Up DeSantis' voter fraud crackdown were told they could vote. Oops. Did he criminally set them up? Several people who were arrested last week as part of Governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis' voter fraud crackdown were notified by official government entities that they were eligible to vote. I know you usually hear of entrapment in terms of drug cases, but geez. The defendants told authorities they had no intention of committing voter fraud, according to affidavits, and in some cases were baffled by their arrest because counties had sent them voter registration cards and approved them to vote. And of course, the defendants were slimed by Monkey Up during a press conference that he grunted through last week and barked about having had 20 people arrested. People have been convicted of murder, sex offenders, who voted in the 2020 election when they weren't eligible. And he did it to as a PR stunt for his million-dollar election security office. Only it turns out that his own government told him they could vote. Rake! Whack! And, of course, they're now back in the poll-to-prison pipeline, I guess. In Orange County, an affidavit was read. An individual by the name of Peter Washington. He is, of course, a black man. He did 10 years in prison related to a sexual battery conviction. His affidavit said, Washington received a voter registration form in the mail, filled it out, and mailed it back to the Orange County Supervisor of Elections office. The Orange County Supervisor of Elections mailed him a voter card. Seems like somewhere along the way, the elections office would have a duty to maybe say, sorry, friend, you can't vote. You're a convicted felon, and your right to vote has not been restored. Then there's a 52-year-old black woman. I almost see a pattern emerging, don't you? Michelle Stribling. She was convicted of second-degree murder. Investigators interviewed her on August 5th, and she said, well, I can't read or write very well. And I didn't understand any of the questions they were asking me. But an Orange County election official sent her a voter card after she registered and made me think I was eligible to vote. Stribling believed that her rights were restored because she completed the voter registration application and received a voter registration card. God damn. The guy who shouldn't be allowed to vote here is Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. Guy's a humongous fraud. Well, at any rate, let's run over to let's go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree where we sublet from the Keebler elves and
gather together around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
Hey, Sparky's bed and breakfast. How may I help you?
Two eggs over easy, sourdough toast, and maybe some hash browns if you don't care.
They were out of hash browns yesterday.
Darn it!
The fire went out.
Ah. So how did y'all have a good time?
Yeah, I'll let Rick, if he comes in, give a trip report. I don't want to spoil his thunder, because he's the one that experienced it. I live here.
Okay, no spoilers, but I just need to know one thing. Did he get to hug your redwood?
Oh, he sure did.
Yay, redwood hugging at Sparky's has become a thing.
He's got a selfie of me and him underneath the redwood tree.
That's awesome.
In a single picture of him up against the redwood tree. And then I got to treat him to a rare treat.
Yeah?
Sitting on the patio looking at the stars, because you can't see any stars in Los Angeles.
Okay, true enough. I thought you were going to say that you could see the stars because it wasn't smoky.
Oh, it's not smoky either. It was a real clear night. He saw about 3 shooting stars. Maybe a meteorite fall or something. And he said he saw a weird light. I'll let you tell him. Let him tell you about it.
So is he getting his boy moved in up in Seattle?
Should be, according to what Roger tells me. He was driving the boy's car up there, and it was stuffed to the gills. There was only enough room to fit in him to fit in the driver's seat, and then he had an ice chest between his legs.
Yeah, I was going to say, now the ice chest between his legs down in the floorboard makes more sense. It was the last available space in the automobile.
Mm-hmm. That is true. But his bag was readily accessible, so he could take a shower in the morning, clean up, and all that. So that's the second time I've opened my hospitality to a horn person.
Yes. Well, are you counting Ferg?
Yeah, he's the only one that stayed tonight.
Oh, okay.
The other two just came for a visit.
Yeah, just passing through.
Yeah, Roger and Tim from L.A.
Sparky, what did you guys have for dinner?
Oh, we didn't. We had some of my tomatoes with the dressing on it, and I made up a meat and cheese plate.
That sounds tasty.
That's a dinner. God, fresh tomatoes? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, a plate of fresh tomatoes.
Nice.
I assume Billable met with Grady's approval, correct?
Oh, Grady's made a new friend, I'll tell you.
Of course he did.
For once, I didn't have to pet him. He was right up in Rick's lap all the time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then
that's just sweet.
We're sitting out there at night, and, you know, pitch dark. You can't see nothing out further, like out towards the man cave and everything. Grady's out there patrolling. He says, "What's Grady doing? All of a sudden, motion sensor light went off by the shop door. I said, "He's going into the shop to look for rats and mice. He's hunting. He found somebody, my neighbor, threw a hot dog over the fence and he found it. Or big old link of sausage or something. It looked like it had come off a barbecue. And he comes over and Rick goes, "What's he got in his mouth?" I said, "I don't know."
At least it wasn't alive.
No, I took that big old hot dog away from him. I said, you never know. My neighbor might want to off my dog because he barks at him all the
time. Well, you know, I was worried for a minute. I'm glad you did, Sparky.
That's been known to happen. That happened to one of my neighbor's dogs back in Chicago.
I know my neighbor would probably not do that, but I wouldn't know where else it would come from.
Yeah. It was one of the saddest things I've heard.
He can't get out of the property in the back.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was horribly sad. And they kind of knew who did it, too. And they were like, watch your dog, watch your yard, and watch your dog. So I was really careful whenever I let her out. It's terrible.
I took it away because I didn't know what kind of sausage or what it was, whether it'd make you sick. So it ended up in the garbage.
Poor Grady. I'm glad they got along.
He got my leftovers from breakfast, though.
I was going to say, I'm glad. I hope he got a replacement snack.
I ordered a chicken fried steak with country gravy on it and everything. And it was like they cooked it, left it in the oil or what, however they cook it, too long. Because the outside of the meat, the cornmeal or whatever they put on the outside of the meat, was really crunchy instead of being soft.
What is it, Robin? Is it like a flour cornmeal mix, or how do you do it? Chicken fried steak.
I don't know cornmeal.
No cornmeal.
Yeah, just seasoned flour.
It's okay, then seasoned flour. I don't know.
Yeah, usually
like pork chops.
Yeah, milk and egg and seasoned flour, and then that way you can deep fry it.
Oh, okay.
Usually black pepper, salt, onion powder, garlic pepper, a little hot pepper, you know, a little cayenne if you like that.
Oh, stop it, Jeremy.
I saw that.
Jeremy!
The Discord group knows I caught him drinking out of the toilet one night.
Water? Like from the toilet?
You can't get off that easy, though. Tell him why he drank out of the toilet. Tell the whole story. Come on,
Jeremy! Give him some slack. Come on.
His water dish was empty, okay?
Damn!
Why was his water dish empty, Sparky? Why was his water dish empty?
Because I had filled it.
No, he drank all his water because Sparky gave him tomatoes with hot sauce. So he was thirsty drinking a little hot sauce. So he was desperate. Went to the toilet.
I see how the sequence of events goes now. Thanks for spilling the beans on that, Jeremy.
At least he isn't harassing me over here about sitting on a patio with Rick. Yeah, I should say.
Well, don't be careful because he may start. Oh, boy. Is anybody in here who want to take bets on when they think the cuffs will be tossed on Trump?
Not before November. Not.
Yeah,
not.
I think that's a pretty easy call. Not before November.
No way. After November, all bets are off.
Yeah, it's gonna take.
Yeah, we put it on the. After November, we put it on the Christmas list.
Yeah. Oh, Christmas! Merry Christmas, Donnie. Oh, and he—that's one of the things he's so proud of. About is that every American is allowed to say Merry Christmas now. So I'll send him a Christmas card to his jail cell.
Well, frankly, I want to know about these other Confederates.
Hmm.
Rudy.
Traitor Todd, I wank my daddy Trump Kushner. Eric the Dumber.
I've been saying for months, we should just turn Mar-a-Lardass into a Supermax prison. And then they're already locked, all locked up. And then we just throw all the maggots in there with them. And then we just airlift Burger King poppers every day.
He's known to prefer McDonald's. Now quit it.
No. They can eat vegetables. Which that might be torture.
Cruel and unhuman. That's cruel and unusual punishment.
So just airlift and drop pumpkins from the sky, or frozen turkeys.
No, like they feed like gorillas and stuff like that. Just like
roll melons out there.
Roll melons out there and
a couple of stalks of celery.
Stalks of celery. By the way, I think they're going to indict him before November.
Oh, no. I think it's a bad move.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, I don't want to see the riots in the street with the idiots.
Yeah, I agree with Steve, and I think they'll do it before the election. They need to.
Really? Upset the apple cart?
That would bring the maggots. That would bring the maggots out in force to vote. I like them. What was that article earlier? I like them with their sense of weariness.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying what I think is better politically, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, the bottom line is there's a grand jury working. When the grand jury's done working, the grand jury issues an indictment, right?
Right. And can I just say something real quick? I think this affidavit, what kind of has shocked me about the whole thing is they were a lot further than I know I thought they might have been in the investigation of him. I mean, this is not recent. This seems to have been going on for a while. And, you know, for whatever you say about Garland, I give the guy credit for keeping shit under wraps and not leaking and whatever. And maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I...
Well, but you know, you're not looking at it wrong, Steve, but look at it from the other end, though. Isn't it equally intriguing that nobody's been running their mouth on the nitwit Nero side? Doesn't that tell you that there's some people that feel like he's gotten dead to rights?
You mean Garland, or?
No, on the Trump side. Like, oh, you know, because people who have been interviewed, you know.
Well, Rudy said as much, didn't he?
I'm confused when you say dead to rights. I don't know what you mean. I'm sorry.
That there are people who have been interviewed as part of this who have kept their own silence about it because they are scared shitless.
Oh, I think you're 100% right. And I would like to reiterate something. Who was the only person within the family circle who is still quiet?
Tiffany.
Jared has been giving interviews about his new book.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who hasn't said a word still is his little I wank him a daddy.
That was, I mean, you know, she certainly gave the, you know, we saw the clips of the interview that she gave to the J6 committee.
Right. I mean, I don't, maybe I'm just being crazy, parent. Silence is usually much more telling than not silence. And good gravy, she has been completely out of it.
Do you think? Well, okay. Let's pursue the rampant speculation a little further. Do you think that the death of her mama fucked with her? You reckon maybe I wank him a daddy, Trump Kushner, wonders what's in the box? I mean, I know that's gross, and I apologize for that.
No, no, no. It's perfectly legit.
Well, but here's the issue, is that there's nothing to apologize for, because we're talking about two families, meaning the Kushner and Trump families, who are both so thoroughly disgusting.
Scummy?
Scummy, damaged, disgusting, smarmy.
Yeah.
That there is nothing that you can speculate on that you could say, oh, no, that'll never happen.
Oh, they'd never do that.
Oh, they'd never do that. Well, other than something like, you know, they gave $1 million. They gave $1 billion to charity. That'd be like, no, they didn't. But the only thing is, the one who seems to have the most to lose is Jared with his $2 billion.
And you got to wonder, what did that buy? I'm sorry, what did that buy?
What did that buy? Remember, I thought today was a big thing, and maybe I missed it, in the other case, the special master case. Wasn't today the deadline they were supposed to basically come up with the argument why?
It was the end of this week. Yeah, I think you're right. But that doesn't, this was their deadline, so that means the ruling comes subsequent.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, I didn't, you know, I thought there would have been a big hullabaloo about, you know, here's the filing. I know I did, there was a press release that Dickhead sent out saying we were gonna file a major motion. And I'm like, a major motion? Well, that means two jazz hands.
Steve, is that where you're gonna go next time? You gotta go up in front of the judge. You say, "Hey, jazz judge, hands. I got a major motion.
I got a major motion. I'm gonna break this right in front of you. That's my motion."
May it please the court, I'm here to present my major motion.
And you may tell you something, Robin. You know what?
No, when it's Nitwit Nero, you don't say "May it please the court." You say "May it thrill the court."
May it thrill the court more than the court has ever been thrilled.
It's the most thrillingest motion that's ever thrilled a court.
My motion is making more motion than any other motion has ever made. It's vibrating at 35,000 hertz. Look at it. You can't even hear it. It's vibrating.
Only dogs can hear. Yeah.
God, stop it.
But it's funny because you hit.
Because it's true.
It's true. That's what's.
Ground control to major motion.
But, and you know, and let me tell you something else that I find one of the most satisfying things of the chickens coming home to roost for him, it is that they can't get any lawyers who are worth a shit. And you know, well, if anyone read that damn the original complaint, which remember I sent that to you earlier this week or whenever, that was a marketing document. No self-respecting half a lawyer would ever have filed that. I started reading it, and the only thing I could think to myself was, what are you doing? What is this? It almost looked to me like something that he wrote and said, here I want you this in there. You put your wherefores and your heretofores and your, you know, praise the court, do this, blah blah blah. But I'm gonna write the thing.
So you gave him he had a sharpied in with some extra shit.
I mean, all I know is, you know what I'm talking about, Robin. That first paragraph where he is the front runner.
Oh, getting him.
What the hell does that mean?
There should be John Philip Sousa music playing anytime anybody opens that document.
I was thinking more like the Calliope music.
Benny Hill would work.
But I just love it. He can't get any good lawyers. On the other hand, Judge Reinhold is no longer working at the sandwich shop, so maybe he can get Judge Reinhold.
He he's at the
No, wait.
Right
didn't Judge... No, Judge Reinhold... No, he got fired from the burger joint, but then he got a very, very sad job where he had to wear a pirate costume.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes, he did. I wonder if Judge Reinhold, the actor, has laughed at this.
I'm sure he has.
He must have, yeah.
And you know what, Robin, and everybody else, let me ask you something. Let's go back 10 years, and if I were to describe what we're seeing to you, how much of this would you actually believe? Not knowing what you know now, not knowing anything about Trump or anything, how much of this shit would you believe?
I mean, the Donnie president? No, I would have never imagined.
Forget about the Donnie president, but the shit that's happened, I mean, that's not even the worst of it. It's this, yes, we're going to have a former president who takes a bunch of boxes of, classified documents, and he's going to make an argument that he just has to wave his hands and they're all magically declassified. Who's cooking?
What was the magic spell?
Documentum
declassificandrum.
I kind of did that like Harry Potter, so.
Well, Steve, if you erase the name and say an ex-president, generic ex-president, does all this shit with classified documents, I would say, I know, there's absolutely no way on God's green earth I would believe it. But when you insert the name Donnie Dingleberry, then it's like, well, yeah, of course.
No, but I'm saying
I'm not surprised
this,
the least.
No, but say 10 years ago. And you know what? And part of it is that...
No, I get your point, Steve, because... Heretofore, the standard was Jesus Christ, Richard Nixon didn't do that.
Right.
I mean, and Richard Nixon did some sketchy stuff. Enemies list.
And W, yeah.
I mean, Reagan's administration was the dirtiest, most criminal operation in the history of American presidency. And they didn't do that shit. They swapped arms for fucking hostages, for God's sakes. And they didn't do this shit.
And the SNL scandal.
That was HW. Actually, you know what? Well, I don't want to get into that. But and then to have these clowns going out. I mean, look, like you said, Robin, Reagan, it was just awful. But whatever you think about Reagan and Cheney and all these people, they had Ed Meese and they had Cap Weinberger and they had Don Regan. These were thoroughly horrible people. But these were not thoroughly horrible people wearing clown shoes and big red balls on their noses. They knew how to be crooks.
Or big red noses on their balls.
Yeah, well, or that too. Or I was thinking something else, and then I all of a sudden forgot. But this shit. Who's your lawyer? Yeah, well, she used to be general counsel to a parking garage. Really? That's who you have.
Wait. She used to be general counsel to a
park. Well, she was. You knew that. Everyone knew that, right?
No. I thought you were being funny.
No.
That's why I gave you a cowbell.
No. One of them, she was general counsel to a parking garage. See what I mean? It's not believable.
You'd get booted out of a producer's office in Hollywood the lawyer and the lawyer. Okay, see, and the lawyer used to be general counsel to a parking garage. Get out.
Yeah. there's get out. Okay.
Yeah, you know the Great Wall of China? No, but I know a big fence in Chicago.
Yeah, she was general counsel to a parking, a parking garage company. I think Alina Haba. It was either I think it was Alina Haba was the one.
I've got this mental image of her being general counsel to the little touchless button machine that spits out your ticket. Maybe she's really tiny and she's in there sorting out the singles and giving out the shooting the change out the little slot.
Like the alien in
God, that's got to look great on a resume. General counsel to parking garage.
Oh, definitely hire her. She knows about money. Jesus.
Our country. Can you say it, Robin? The greatest country.
The greatest country in the history of the world on Earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Amen. General counsel to a parking garage.
No, you know what? It's because of that asshole we're a third world country now.
Yeah, we are. We're a laughingstock. Absolutely.
Christopher, I wanted to mention something to you. I don't know if you caught it the other night. But next year is Netroots Nations in Chicago.
Oh, that's cool.
So if we get to go, I will have to get from you many recommendations for, like, awesome corned beef sandwiches, best Chicago dog.
Well, hell, I might end up being there.
That'd be fun.
I could plan a trip around that and see all my cousins and aunts and uncles and friends and then give you the tour.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
And that's the neighborhood tour, not the Dean and the Millennium Park and, you know, that stuff. You know, the tourist tour. I'll give you the real tour.
Well, I mean, I've got some touristy things I would like to do in Chicago because I've never spent any appreciable amount of time there. God, I thought the train station was beautiful, though.
It is. It's really pretty.
I want to go to the Field Museum.
Oh yeah, it's great.
And I want to go to Oak Park and go to the Hemingway home.
Yep, and don't forget with the Hemingway home, you got to see. You could do, there's a tour of a whole bunch of Frank Lloyd Wright.
Right, homes. Yeah.
And I've done that before, and that is amazing.
And then what's, it, now, with the demise of retail, what's it called, there was like massive amounts of shopping on, what, Michigan Avenue? Does that still exist?
Yeah. Great question. Remember, I left before COVID. So I don't know what COVID. Now, I've been there since, and I'll say it seems sparser, but I wasn't there at Christmas time. I wasn't there around the holidays when it's normally. So I don't know the answer to that question.
So assuming it's like in July or something, do I need to, how many layers do I need to pack? I mean, do I need my parka?
Oh, hell no.
I'm kidding. The late great Louis Grizzard once wrote that because he was posted to Chicago when he wrote for Sports Illustrated, and he said, the city of Chicago has two seasons, dead of winter and 4th of July.
Yeah, the other one is, you could say either cold as hell, winter, or construction season. Construction is the other season.
Well, you know, that's like on my way up to Pittsburgh. I noticed that in both West Virginia and Pennsylvania, even this late in the summer, the orange barrels are still blooming on the highway.
Absolutely. The
state flowers.
But the other thing you want to definitely put on your list is the architectural tour, on the riverboat tour.
Yeah, and in fact, Andy the Angry Jew just said, number one tourist attraction in Chicago, the water architectural tour.
There you go. Absolutely, that's a must. And of course Wrigley.
Yes.
And those are the two top things, and you have to go after the game. Gotta go bar hopping walking down Clark Street and then end up at the Wiener Circle, of course.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yes.
Hey, Robin, I posted an article in the chat there that the parking garage thing comes from, and then also there's a paragraph in there that details his lawyers, and then it says in there, yeah, she was Alina Haba, whose legal experience includes serving as a general counsel to a parking garage company.
That's beautiful. And, you know, along those lines, and a cowbell goes out to Ron and Raleigh. I wonder, Ron writes, does Ms. Haba have a nickel squirter like Jethro Bodine?
Oh, my God.
And a blue serge suit. It's a blue serge suit and a nickel squirter, Ron. Yeah, Uncle Jed, they got me one of them nickel squirters. God, we knew one of my sisters had found the man for her one time. I remember it was very, very little, and she married a fella, worked at the spur station, and got to wear a nickel squirter. That was back before pump your own gas.
Well, Robin, you'll get to meet one of them if you ride the Metro train out of Chicago. Still have those guys. I wonder if they have that anymore. Probably not. I think now at this point you have to have a pass. It was a quarter squirter, not a nickel one. That's the only difference.
You know, I wonder if the in fact, I was in one of the local Rippy Marts the other day. And a woman I know was, she's a manager there, and she was refilling, you know, because they've got that automated thing that sends the change down the little chute, and, you know. And she was refilling pennies and dimes and nickels and quarters, and she said, I hate this thing. And I can imagine it probably, but, you know, they have to be round. So, you know, whoever the genius was that came up with that oddly shaped dollar coin never actually had to deal with change, you get the idea. Man, that died in a hurry. That weird ass. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, and this is more on the serious side of things. Oh, wait a minute. Lady B just said, going back to our the weary days in the bunker at Mar-a-Lardass, Lady B said, Chlamydia Jean and Cy Phyllis. God damn it, Robin. Hopefully 10 will get you 20. My darling Clementine. Thank you, Lady B. And an hour and 43 minutes into the program, we are at $1,795 to go. And August is looking pretty sketchy. Which means September, it's even worse still. So if we could knock that down, no challenges on the table or anything, but if we could knock down some portion of 1795, like Ralph said, you know, at least get below $1,000, that would be fantastic. And I know it's hard, so I'm sorry. But this is how this program continues to exist. You know, what with all the high living going, no, the cabana boy ran off with the Maybach mechanic, and, the pool's been piling up with leaves and grass clippings, and the Maybach's got about a quarter inch of pollen on it, damn it. Now this,
the Maybach sitting in the same hangar as the Donnie flying machine?
Oh yeah. They're it's just tucked under one wing. This story is actually serious, and I think we really we've got to deal with this. I mean, we knew, and we knew, and back when this was happening, we knew why the Republicans were doing what they did. Remember when Nitwit Nero nominated the handmaid? And he said, or the Republicans then said, and you can't ask her about her religion. Don't anybody ask her about her religion. You can't torture her for her. God damn it, it's freedom of religion. It's First Amendment. No fair. And the Democrats pallidly and weakly conceded. Well, it turns out there was a reason the Republicans didn't want anybody asking the handmaid about her religion. I mean, she's Roman Catholic. No, okay, whatever. But it's the cult she was in, and remains in, I should add. Oh, those people of praise? Well, they had a 50th anniversary party, people of praise did. And at the 50th anniversary party, the founder, Kevin Ranahan, and his handmaid wife, Dorothy, got to telling stories about the early days of People of Praise in the 1970s. And Dorothy was the one doing the storytelling. And this is some gross shit. Somebody secretly videoed the meeting. Good for them. Because sketchy, skeevy, creepy, nasty things have been coming out about this ugly little cult that centers upon nothing short of the vilest and purest of misogyny. And reminiscing over the good old days, a report in The Guardian points out that this video was surreptitiously taken and provided to the paper. And Dorothy Ranahan apparently enjoyed telling the story. Let me see if I've got the audio here. Here we go.
It's on headship and the roles of men and women, and all sorts of things we hadn't counted on at all. And some of the women who are still in my women's group, as a matter of fact, would wear sunglasses all the time because they were always crying, okay? And would have to hold on to their chairs every time somebody started teaching because what are we going to hear this time? But it all worked out just fine.
Yeah, and they just chuckle. Ha, ha, did you hear the laughing? But yeah, it was so awful what they were demanding of women, that women would bawl and couldn't escape from the group because, you know what, their husbands would beat the Christian daylights out of them. Because women have no, in that filthy cult, women have no authority, women have no executive function, women have no autonomy. They have to be as obedient as animals to men. And she chuckles. She chuckles. And remember that when she was going to Notre Dame Law School, Amy Covid Barrett lived with these weird freaks.
God knows what they made her do.
Oh, God. Well, that explains Amy Covid Barrett's weirdness.
She's a sicko. She's twisted.
Very twisted.
And broken. Well, I mean, under the Supreme Court, isn't it the law of the land that a woman is the subjugate of a man? And that seems to be what the ruling is.
From the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. That's in the Dobbs dissent.
Here you go. That's the law of the land in America.
And the people of praise creeps refer to this misogynistic practice as masculine headship. And, you know, cult leaders often behave in this way. One former member of People of Praise filed a sworn affidavit in the 1990s. We talked about it here. That Kevin Ranahan, the head of the cult, had almost total control over the lives of women who lived within his sphere. He would make, one woman said, he would make all decisions about her finances. He would make all the decisions about her dating relationships. And, of course, they also, you know, speak in tongues and they do exorcisms, you know. Because, you know, when a woman gets mouthy and wants to act like she's an equal, free human being on planet Earth, you know the cause of that, right? Demons. Demons. And again, a reminder, inside the Ranahan household and inside the cult, Amy Covid Barrett held status. She exercised power as an office holder referred to as a handmaid. A handmaid. And almost, and it was, you know, the goddess of irony is at work. Thanks in part to Amy Covid Barrett, the handmaid. Well, the story is out from an outlet called WAFB in Louisianistan that a woman there has been denied an abortion. The court has denied her the right to an abortion, even though at 10 weeks she had an ultrasound that showed that, yes, the skull of her baby, or a portion of the skull of her baby, ain't there. The condition is called acrania, and a newborn so born will die within hours of delivery. And there's nothing medical science can do about it.
Can you imagine the pain and agony that that fetus becoming a baby is going to go through as it goes through the birth canal?
Yes. I mean, it's a horror. And, of course, she is a woman of color. And this is why I don't think Amy Covid Barrett or Brat, free money Brat Kavanaugh, or Anne's boy Neil, or Slappy, or Tony Bad Breath should ever know a moment's peace. I think that woman has a right to stand outside their house and picket them until the day they die, and remind them of what they put her through.
She automatically gets a seat at any dinner reservation that any of those justices ever have in
yes.
a public restaurant.
Yeah, I think she should be the maitre d'. With her lawyer Ben Crump along her side in front of the state capitol in Baton Rouge, the woman said, 10 weeks into my pregnancy, I found out that my baby had a rare birth defect called acrania. The doctors told me that my baby would die shortly after birth. They told me that I should terminate the pregnancy, but because of the state of Louisiana abortion ban, they could not perform the procedure. Basically, they said I had to carry my baby to bury my baby. They seemed confused about the law and afraid of what would happen to them if they performed a criminal abortion according to the law. And then she added, I want you to imagine what it's been like to continue this pregnancy for another 6 weeks. She's at 16 weeks now after this diagnosis. This is not fair to me, and it should not happen to any other woman.
pissed off. This is why November is so important.
Yes.
This is why it's the most important election in U.S. history.
And we need, yeah, we need these stories from time to time. And the suffering, the hell, the misery, the agony. But these stories need to, every time one of these stories arises, the story needs to be heard nationwide so that the outrage, the ferocity, the urgency can be maintained.
Yeah, but Robin, you know who's not going to talk about it? Sean Hannity job.
Oh, this will never be. No. This will be no more heard from on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or any of those other filthy outlets than the political director. What was his name? Bowen? The political director of Texas Right to Life that we heard about last night, who got busted for trying to set up an assignation to fuck a child. It's sickening. Disgusting. And we all need, people who can't become pregnant, you know, men, women like me, still need to be outraged at this. Because this goes down a road that none of us want to go down. That road is hell right now. And it's going, and hell is going to expand.
I ain't seen nothing yet.
No.
I mean, the boxcars aren't too far down the line.
No. Not at all. Oh, and reminding us of the remainder of the story, Lady B says, but then Brad got a job at a convenience store. He was still pissed. One night a man comes in to rob the place, Jeff Spicoli, who had stopped by for snacks and to use the bathroom, emerges from the bathroom in time to distract the robber. It's at that point in time that Brad throws a pot of coffee in the robber's face. Brad's then promoted to manager. Not long afterwards, Spicoli saves Brooke Shields from drowning. He uses his reward money to hire Van Halen to play at his birthday party. I love Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Thanks for the great memory. Yeah, I may have to cue that up and watch it. Yeah. Aloha, Mr. Han. Yeah.
Did we all see what, and maybe you guys mentioned it, I had to step away for a sec. Did you see what President Joe said about the maggots?
Yeah, I did. I loved it.
And I was like, "Durn tootin'." And of course, I was watching some CNN show and some W. Toady. Well, I'll just, you know, this is a half a party, a half of a one, you know, 73 million people and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you know what? Shut up. You're lucky he only said semi-fascist.
Well, yeah, and actually, I've got the clip right here, Steve. He was speaking. President Biden was speaking in Maryland, and not pulling any punches.
I don't respect these MAGA Republicans.
I don't respect these MAGA Republicans, and what he said prior to that was, "There are not many real Republicans anymore." By the way, your sitting governor, talking about Larry Hogan, he's a Republican you can deal with. I respect conservative Republicans. I don't respect these MAGA Republicans. And went on to say that they are semi-fascist. I don't think there's anything semi about them.
No.
Did you see what Gavin Newsom said in a tweet I sent you, Robin?
I saw it, and let me go back to it.
I mean, I love, he is seriously trolling Ron DeSantis. Oh, no, this is great.
Oh, well, you'd love this clip, Steve. If you haven't seen
it. I've got it queued up here. Gavin Newsom said, "People keep asking why I'm calling out DeSantis and these Republican governors. The answer's simple. I don't like bullies." And then,
can't take what's going on in this country. The last 50 years of progress, the rights revolution's been wiped out in real time by folks with a zest for demonization and othering other people. I can't take what these governors are doing, state after state, attacking minorities, attacking vulnerable communities, threatening the Special Olympics with fines, going after the LGBTQ community, saying if you've been raped by your father, you don't have the right to express yourself by deciding what to do for yourself and right over your own body. I don't like it. I don't like DeSantis, the way he talked about Fauci. He could disagree with people. They're bullies. My mom used to wash my mouth out with soap if I talk like that. I don't like what's happening. Threatening people if they come to California for reproductive rights in states like Texas. I mean, bounties. I mean, it's a serious moment in American history. So why I'm doing those ads, and it's because I can't take it. I got to sleep at night. It's not because of any ambition. My ambition literally is to be judged to have lived in this moment and not to regret having not met this moment. And so on climate, on energy, on trying to take responsibility to, you know, leave this world a little bit better place and to go after bullies my entire life. I don't like bullies. I don't like people that other people. I don't like people that demean other people. And I just, that's being celebrated in American politics today. And you got to call it out. DeSantis is the worst of it. But having these other guys, they're right there. And forgive me, I'm naming them because we have to. And I think people need to understand what's going on in this country. And there's too much at stake. So California will play its role. We'll do our part. And that's all this is about.
So if not you and if not Biden, who can pick up the mantle of that outrage against the bullies?
Oh, I don't know that there's been a two-year period in modern American history that's been more effective than the last 2 years with the Biden administration across the spectrum.
In terms of policy?
It's a masterclass. A masterclass.
And yet Americans don't seem to know it.
They don't need it, but they'll feel it. They'll experience. They'll be the beneficiaries of it. And I'll tell you, there's a guy who could
sleep all
night.
They might be, but they might not vote that way.
Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you'll be judged for the things you did, not the things you said. Joe Biden can sleep better than any modern president with what he's accomplished in the last.
He's a fucking stud.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wow. I just got a hard-on for him.
TMI.
Yeah, I know I went there. You know what, Robin? How many times have you read...
But he is a hottie.
Yeah. How many times have you read the weirdos who keep sending you Instagram stuff? So I know. That stuff is pretty TMI-ish.
Actually, well, it is. It is. And Jeremy said that he fully expects me to come through on that, and I don't know if I can. I mean, oh my goodness gracious. You just don't... No.
I'm just kidding. Little visions are dancing in my head.
No, well, I mean, I'll be happy to screenshot some of these. I mean, you might like them. I'm just...
No, thank you.
I mean, it's a tsunami. It is a tsunami. And sometimes I just open it and go, no. You know, some are nicer than others. Some are like, hey, you're really cute. And I'm like, hey, thank you.
I mean, if you really want to mess with them, you send a message back saying, you have a beautiful smile.
Yeah, and that's.
You'll send it back when they send you their picture. Say, oh, you have such a beautiful smile, and have them get confused.
Yeah, and see, okay, so we're kind of across the board here. Darlene in Connecticut agrees. Holy shit, Gavin Newsom. I'm in love. Swoon! Yeah, I mean, I got some serious fangirl going on here. And
I got to tell you, I like this Joe Biden that's all of a sudden coming out here. And
yeah, bit. And wow, I mean, look at him, but look at Gavin Newsom standing up for him. And what a great way to put it. That guy can sleep at night.
And Charlie Crist, remember what Charlie Crist said?
I might have missed that.
No, they asked him, do you want him coming down? He says, how did he say it? He said, this guy has accomplished this and accomplished this and accomplished this. Of course, I welcome him to come down here. I can't wait for him to come down here and campaign with me. That's the shit that wins.
Yeah, it is.
That's the shit that wins. Not when you try to hide, when you say, you know what, great. You want to get into a pissing match? We'll get into a pissing match. We got a lot more to piss than you do.
And you know, Biden. I mean, it's a fair metric. Biden knows he's winning when he's making marginal trailer queen have a conniption. Because when he said that in Maryland, you know, I don't respect these MAGA Republicans. She said, well, I don't respect you for leaving our border wide open, allowing an invasion and deadly drugs in daily, arming the Taliban, wrecking our economy, killing our energy independence, and supporting killing the unborn and genital mutilation of children. Go to hell, Joe!
And the gazpacho police taking over and going everywhere?
Going door to door with their Jewish space lasers?
Let me tell you something. That's where exactly what you were just saying. I am trolling Jim Shorts Jordan. Every time he tweets, I respond something along the lines of, "Yeah, you mean like a coach who looks the other way while college athletes get buggered."
Good for you, Steve. He needs that every single fucking tweet.
Yep.
That guy's such a creep. He's horrible. But they're all horrible.
But like Robin just said, you know we're getting under their skin when they start saying shit like Robin just said, and they start saying shit about, you know, forgiving student debt. And I get so sick of these people. Well, I paid off. Why do I not get my mortgage paid for? And I always respond, I already fucking pay for part of your mortgage and your charitable giving and the money you give to your church. People don't get that.
Yeah, you know, for that matter, ask Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, he got his mortgage paid for free.
I think the maggot house reps were all counting their chickens before they were hatched a couple of months ago. I think they all said it was a foregone conclusion. We're going to take the house. So I think they were already figuring out who was going to be on the committees, who are going to be on committee chairs, when do we get the Hunter Biden laptop, Hunter Biden, and when can we line up Benghazi Part 19. And now I think they're realizing, oh, shit, this is looking really bad for us.
Well, I think, and you mentioned this the other day, Robin, when McConnell came out and lamented the quality of the candidates.
Yes.
I think he was, that was a shot across the bow to Rick Scott. You know, Rick Scott's head of the, was it the NRSC?
Well, right. And he didn't earn any points with putting out his granny starving agenda. That did not make Moscow Mitch happy.
You remember that press conference?
Stop saying the quiet part out loud.
Yep. And I think what McConnell's doing is he is laying the groundwork to blame Scott. They're not going. Nothing is certain in politics. But the more you look at it, I actually think the Democrats. I think that's a fairly decent chance that they're going to pick up. I think Pennsylvania is going to be a pickup.
Wisconsin. I'm hoping Wisconsin. I have, you know, hopes in Ohio. That's three.
Georgia.
Raphael Warnock holding his seat. That's four in Georgia. That's not a pickup. Keep that's Arizona. A save. Keep Arizona. Yeah.
What about Nevada?
I've got no beef with Catherine Cortez Masto. I hope she hangs on. And apparently they think that they're going to really contest that one. But I come back to this again and again and again. Maybe it's just because I'm a naive. But I want the Kentucky race of Rand Paul to get national attention, and I would like to see some big money go into that race. That would putting that thing on Rand Paul's head and nailing it to the door. That's a pelt that Democrats could celebrate, right?
Oh, it'd be wonderful. Yeah. Oh, it'd be huge. That would be huge.
You know, go cuss at Anthony Fauci from the privacy of your bedroom, dumbass.
Or off the
How
back
about
porch.
The Hart Deballer? I haven't looked at the numbers in there. And Iowegia.
I hear almost nothing about that.
Yeah.
What I did hear, and I don't know if anybody else heard this, that the Republicans, the NRSC, RNC, they have withdrawn huge ad buys in Pennsylvania, and there was two other states. I think Georgia was
Wisconsin.
One of them. Wisconsin.
I think it was, yeah.
Georgia was one of them.
Yeah. And apparently they're putting a bunch of money into J.D. Vance because that's what they're seeing. That's the tipping point they're seeing it as.
And what a garbage, you know, what a garbage campaign that is.
Again, I think the Democrats have a 3-4 seat pickup is not only doable, but.
Well, see, Republicans had a chance to nominate a far more traditionally Ohio Republican candidate. And instead, that primary turned into a contest between the real hillbilly elitist, J.D. Vance, and Josh Mandel. They could have just had a wealthy Republican businessman, but no, he wasn't MAGA enough. Even though he bowed and scraped too. So, I mean, look, and North Carolina's there. And remember, Val Demings is a bad bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to go after Marco Rubio, who, by the way, in the last 24 hours, sort this one out. I mean, how does this, what in God's name are the numbers like demographically in Florida, he came out in the last day or so saying that he absolutely opposes any exception for rape and incest. That was yesterday. CBS 4 News Miami's Jim DeFede had an interview with Marco, and this was the teaser audio out of it.
Do you oppose abortion in all cases, including rape and incest and human trafficking?
Well, first of all, I believe that abortion is the killing of an unborn human being, and that all human beings are entitled to the dignity and the protection of life. That said, I've also said that I will support bills that have exceptions. I have in the past, and I will in the future. I will support any bill that saves lives. Now, this issue has changed, because all the Supreme Court said is that now that debate is not going to happen in Washington, where it wasn't happening at all because of Roe v. Wade. Now that decision has to be made at the state level. I mean, the state legislature will weigh in. Florida has an abortion law that cuts it off at 15 weeks. Every state will have its own law, but I'm in favor of laws that protect human life. I do not believe that the dignity and the worth of human life is tied to the circumstances of their conception, but I recognize that that's not a majority position, and therefore, I've always said I support bills that have exceptions. I understand this is not an easy issue. I've never said this is an easy issue. It puts two fundamental rights in conflict, the right to choose of a woman and the right to live of an unborn human being.
But
I believe that wins.
I just want to be clear, because it sounded like what you just said is your position, if it could pass, if you had the numbers in the Senate and the House to do this, you would support a bill that would protect life in all forms, no matter how it was conceived, even in cases of rape and incest. The only reason that you support exceptions is because you don't have the numbers to do
it
right
now. What I've said to you is very clear. I believe that human life is worthy of protection. An unborn human being has rights. We recognize that in our law already. If a pregnant woman is killed in a car accident by a negligent driver, that driver is not charged with one count of manslaughter, but two counts of manslaughter, because our law already recognizes that that is a human life. I believe human life is worthy of protection, irrespective of the, however, and these are horrifying circumstances that you're describing, and they're rare, thank God. They happen, they're rare. And so my whole point is, I believe that to be consistent on this issue, I believe that we should be protecting innocent human life from the moment of conception to the moment of birth, and that our law should reflect that.
Would you support a federal ban on abortion?
Well, I think that right now this issue is appropriately before the states. That's where it should have always been. That's where it is now. And I think that's where it will be for the foreseeable future. We don't have the votes now or any time in the near future for that. And frankly, I think this issue is better decided at the state level at this point, because as I see it playing out, every state will now, people will have more influence over their state legislature than they do over Congress, and certainly over the Supreme Court.
Any questions? Well, yeah, a million of them. And, you know,
That was five minutes. I'm very clear about this.
Yeah, well, and the fact of the matter is they must have had some sort of audio filtering on, because you couldn't hear his tap shoes from the tap dancing. So, I mean, Jesus Christ. So how's that going to play in Florida?
I'm
asking from a position of genuine non-knowledge. How weird is Florida?
I don't know. I've heard Farron Covens, he lives there. He lives up in the panhandle. He says it's pretty fucking bad.
Well, and remember, the panhandle is that area generally referred to as L.A., Lower Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason that on the Florida-Alabama border, and I hope, someday to see it again, there is a classic roadhouse dive called the Florabama Lounge. And it sits astraddle the Florida-Alabama line, and when it's closing time in one state, you can walk across the room and get a beer in the other. I mean, it's the ultimate meaning of, you know, what the bartender says when he hollers, you know, last call, you ain't got to go home, you just got to go somewhere else. Well, somewhere else is across the room. And they have an iconic mullet toss every October. Competitive mullet tossing, and I'm not talking about the haircut. The fish.
Oh, the fish.
Yeah. When Annette and I were down there for a couple of days before I went for my surgery, we walked into the gift shop there, and I brought back I got her a Florabama T-shirt, and I got the cutest little Florabama lightweight beach hoodie. But the point I'm making is that the panhandle of Florida is far more like Alabama than anything going on in, like, you know, I mean, you've heard Scary Jerry talk about how much difference there is between South Florida and North Florida. The question is, where's the population, and who can, who's going to get out the vote? And it goes back to that outrage factor that I mentioned a few minutes ago. People have got to be outraged about this assault on rights. You know, shithead marginal trailer queen there, the end of her little tweet screed was Democrats support the genital mutilation of children. I know, I'm talking about it again. But I would like, and let me just put this in the best way I possibly can. I'm a bitch, okay? I know it. But marginal trailer queen is a stupid bitch. And there's a gulf of difference between the two. And I'm constantly trying to sort out, you know, the shit that she says. It's that thing we ask about the Hannity jobs and the phlegm balls of the world. Do they actually believe the garbage that they spew, or are they just doing it for the money? She can't possibly believe that there is child genital mutilation going on. It is not done. It's not possible. That Libs of TikTok account who was finally outed started a, and you know about this, Steve, started a little mini crusade against people who work at Boston Children's Hospital.
Oh.
Because they've got a gender-affirming clinic there.
What's that guy's name? Matt Klein. Isn't that his name?
Matt Walsh. He's a total turd. And they tell lies and people believe them because they want to believe them. And they claim that Boston Children's Hospital was performing hysterectomies on little prepubescent girls. And it's not goddamn true. And somebody needs to look at Marginal Trailer Queen and say, you stupid bitch, stop lying.
Weren't people picketing Boston Hospital?
And they had to call in law enforcement and security and redo their security plan because the lives of people who work at Boston Children's Hospital in Massachusetts, for fuck's sake, were being threatened. You know, dark navy blue Massachusetts. And somewhere along the way, somebody's got to speak with some strength and some authority who has the authority with which to speak, whether it's an Adam Schiff or God knows Auntie Maxine would be great. Barbara Lee. Somebody look at Cori Bush. Look at Marginal Trailer Queen and say, you stupid bitch, stop lying. Because the time for high tea language is goddamn past. Or am I wrong?
No dispute here. You know, I was going to say no dispute here. This is why what I hope is when Biden said this, everyone knows that people see Biden as, you know, he doesn't want to go too far. He's always... This is semi-fascist, and the way he's been the last few times, something I know, well, I didn't, you know, as little as I watch Sam Cedar anymore, I do once in a while, as long as Emma Biggins on one. I hate her. I think she's an idiot.
I know you hate her.
And before anybody thinks it's a sexist thing, I think
no,
she's stupid.
No, I don't think it's, I don't think it's sexist. We've had this conversation. You've never indicated... When you've critiqued her, it's never come out that it's been any kind of sexism.
I just want people to be clear about that.
Yes.
One of them talked in here that when Biden had this couple string of wins here, all of a sudden his rhetoric went from, you know, good Republicans, whatnot, to Democrats did this. Republicans were against it. That's the first step, which then leads to they're a bunch of semi-fascists. That's the language. You know what? I get this bullshit. Well, we need to unite and fuck that. We're not. You know, when I go and watch a baseball game, I don't ask the two sides to unite. I root for one over the other. And I'm sorry if that's two us versus them or whatever, but let's be frank here. They threw down that fucking gauntlet. They threw down that, you know, I mean, how many times have we been told we are the anti-Americans and we hate the country and we hate the police? Well, I do, but anyway. We hate this and we hate that. And how many times, Robin, have we heard this shit? Chris, Roger.
Millions.
Duncan.
I mean, How did they turn liberal into a bad word, right? Go ahead, Roger.
Well, the other side of it is that the Republicans have been fuck you Democrats
forever.
Ever since Reagan.
Forever.
Even Nixon. And now
even
the
Nixon,
Democrats
yes.
need to come back, and they wanted that. And now the Democrats have to go, fuck you, Republicans. You're a bunch of pieces of shit, and we're moving on, whether you like
we're
it or not.
On.
That goes, you know, that goes right back to something our buddy Reverbo said years and years ago now. Reverbo said, you know, we've been sitting here, the door to the bus has been open, we've been idling the bus is filling with diesel fumes, sooner or later, we just got to realize they're not going to get on with us, and we close the door and we drive off into the future and leave them behind. And ideologically, that's absolutely correct.
Hey, Robin, Jude would love to jump in, but I don't know if she's got Skype. Do you have her number? Would you be able to patch her in? I have her number, but I'm
she's got the stress line number. If she wants to call in, she's welcome to.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
And I need to say a couple of thank yous. Thank you to Mary. Thank you so much to Mary. Thank you, Mary, so very much. Mary in NOLA. And thank you to Gino in Utah. Thank you both tremendously. We have gone from $17.95 to go to $13.95 to go. And with about a half an hour left in the program, it's suddenly not quite as impossible an idea that that Ralphs could get her wish and Lassie could get a break. And we might be able to get this thing down under $1,000 for the hole that we're in, and three broadcast days left in. We're at $13.95, and if anybody wants to help bring it on down, golly Moses, it would be so helpful, because we're not done with the we're not done with the crisis that we're in here. We're partly done. Some of the crisis has been averted, but all of it hasn't. Because taking everything together, golly, at $13.95, that's 100, okay, so that's $195 left of Monday, this past Monday. And then the rest of the week is so far unfunded. Thank you, Gino. And thank you, Mary. It's so lovely to hear from you both. Thank you so very much. And Darlene in Connecticut says, well, Steve from New York makes a great point. How can Republicans be semi-fascist? You either are or you aren't. There's no semi, no in-between. A little bit pregnant.
It's not like chocolate, semi-sweet chocolate. Right?
Yeah, close only counts in atom bombs and hand grenades.
And horseshoes.
I guess cornhole, kind of.
Yeah, kind
of. Okay, can we just please? Every time we get all highfalutin, we're starting to drive our car right down that beautiful road, and all of a sudden, Robin or me or somebody else throws a big old nail out in the middle of the street, and then we hit that nail, and then we go off.
Or if you're Tracy, it's an Allen wrench.
Now
poor baby.
No.
What she went through.
Oh, that was a horrifying story. My God.
Oh, it was chilling. It was chilling.
Oh, it was.
It appears Rick isn't going to be able to get in, so I'll give an update from what Sparky had. Rick got in here at about 3:30 in the afternoon, and I gave him a little tour of my hovel hole out back, which Chris is well aware of. And we went over to the Mongolian Grill, which he'd never eaten at one. And for people that don't know what it is, you get a bowl and you walk down a buffet line, and it starts out with beef, pork, and chicken. And then you have your choice of a ton of different vegetables. And at the end of it is a noodles, and three different kinds of oriental type noodles. And then you have some about 15 different sauces that you can put on, from flaming hot to garlic water to lime water, lemon water, and sweet and sour, and all kinds of stuff like that. And then you take it to Rick just got here. Anyhow, there's this 10-foot wide diameter circle grill that they dump the food out onto, that you hand them in the bowl. And they fry it up on this huge griddle and put it on a plate. And then you go sit at a table. And, Rick, you need to turn your camera off. They put it on a plate, and you go sit down at the table and you eat. And Rick ate all of his. I brought a lot of mine home, had some of it for lunch today, and I still have some left over for an evening snack. And then about 4:30, I sent him off to the Costco gas station. And apparently he found his way to the Costco gas station and found his way back to I-5 because he made it to Seattle.
Yes, I sure did.
Hey, Billable.
Hey, Billable.
Yeah, I'm helping my son put together a computer desk that just arrived in his apartment.
Oh, God, those things. I'd rather take a beating in down the dark end of an alley than to try to put one of those damn things together.
Yeah, you know, we made one mistake and kind of had to reverse
the data screw.
But we're okay now. Right. We're getting there. We're almost done.
Well, the desk that I use here in the studio, we actually bought in, I think, 1995.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think it weighs like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And I remember sweating and swearing and hurting myself and Annette the same. And then when we started this operation in this studio, we moved this thing in here from, I think, out in the storage building. And we came very close to getting divorced a lot earlier than we actually did.
Oh, well.
It's huge. And it's one of the reasons that I find it so difficult to try to make this studio video friendly. Because the prospect of being my age now and the muscle mass that I've lost over the course of my transition, I don't know if I could move it.
Mm.
I mean, it's well. And so it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a Gibraltar of sorts. You just have to get around it.
I hear you. A fur could help lift it probably.
Well, some, but it's not—it's not a one-person job.
Oh no, it's probably a two-man job for sure. I would think.
But so I wish you the very best in your endeavors, Billable.
Oh, this thing isn't heavy. This is made in China. It's got like, you know, it's prefabricated wood and, you know, that kind of thing, fiberboard. You know.
No, that's exactly what this thing was.
Oh really?
Okay. Yeah, and it's the desk I have here is, oh, I'd say 5.5 feet wide by 3 feet deep. It's got a separate shelf. It's got a cubby and a hutch.
Mm-hmm.
And it weighs, you know, it. I'm surprised I still. Oh, don't even say that, Robin. It's got the specific gravity of a small star.
Oh my God, that's pretty intense. This is a total of 33 kilograms, apparently. I think. Let's see here. 29.7. Wait. What's 33 point? No, it's 33.3 kilograms, I think. So, it's fairly lightweight. You know, we can once this is together, we can position it in the corner of the room. But he's just got a lovely place. It's like, feels like a 4 or 5 star hotel. You know, it's got a nice lobby. And like a fake, fireplace and shit. And, it's just very, very cool. It's got a deck on the 40th floor. You can look out over the harbor, you know, Puget Sound and shit.
Oh, it's got to be gorgeous. Can you
see
Rainier from the balcony?
It's a little cloudy up here today. Actually, the marine layer came in late last night. And, but it's gonna lift here in the next probably day or so. It's gonna rain maybe tomorrow, they're saying. But it sounds like by Sunday it'll be good weather. I'm not really sure the exact forecast, but that's the sense I got from watching the weather lady last night on the news, late news. But
all right, Rick, you know, fill us in on the cat story from last night.
Oh, the cat story. What about the cat traveling? You mean?
Well, you were talking about having to sneak the litter box in and shit like that, and I'm just wondering how it went.
Well, we used the suitcase to be a, we made sure to keep the litter
in a separate container and the litter box in a separate, you know, container. And then we basically, I put the litter container inside the litter box, and then we stuffed it in a suitcase and then brought the suitcase up back up to the hotel. So that was not a problem. Elvis was more or less doing pretty good. He traveled pretty well, I understand, but he was drugged. Once he got back to the hotel, he was out of his cage. He started kind of like making some noise, and you know, finally he settled down. We were able to get some sleep. But Elvis will be fine. He's been at the hotel all day since probably we left there at about maybe 11:30 to go to, or no, we left there about 10:15 to go to Brian's apartment building and meet the person there who kind of gave him the keys and kind of gave him a tour and all that stuff. So we've been putting together stuff for like the last hour and a half or so. We had some lunch at a burger place called was it Best Burgers, or what is it called, Brian? What was that called? Remember the place?
Burgerville?
No, I forget what it's called. It's a pretty good joint. I don't know if it's a chain in the Northwest or not, but it was pretty tasty. I can't complain. You know, good fries and burger, and I was starting to get kind of tired, so I was thinking, oh, geez, I need some coffee, but maybe I'll be okay now. Who knows, you know? But he's like right across from one of the Amazon buildings. I guess they own like 40 buildings in downtown Seattle, Brian tells me. Which is
that's not a surprise. That's not a surprise, right?
It's amazing. You see people walking around with the lanyards with the Amazon badge at the base of the lanyard, you know. So it's this has definitely become Amazon town, I think, you know, at least this part of downtown is. He's got a nice he's on the third floor. He's only like one of two apartments that has a balcony, so he has an outdoor balcony. Looking right at the Space Needle right now, it looks like it's only maybe three city blocks away from me. So it's really close. It's very nice. Very nice place. He picked a good one. So he can walk to work. Lots of restaurants around here, lots of things to do. So
have
he's
you been
meet-
to the Hendrix Museum before, Rick?
Where is the Hendrix Museum?
Oh, it's north of the it's really close to Space Needle, if I remember.
Oh,
and
is
it's,
it?
It's an awesome museum. And I know you're a huge fan. You should definitely
Brian, you like
get
Hendrix
a chance.
Huh? Yeah, Brian listens to Hendrix. Yeah, he likes Hendrix. Yeah, why not?
It's a fabulous museum. It's definitely worth the
trip. Yeah, maybe I'll try that out. We'll see. We'll have time. We'll have time tomorrow. Asa was talking about maybe wanting to come by and meet up a little bit. I don't want to do too much because I need to spend time with Brian and get his apartment in order. But there's not really – the desk is in, and then his computer is set up. There's not much else because he doesn't have any furniture to speak of. He's waiting for his bed to be delivered. So that's kind of what's going on right now.
Are you going to give a trip report, Rick?
A trip report? Yeah. Yeah, which trip are we talking about? No, I'm joking.
Finding my house.
Oh yeah, this is so funny. I was like down to about 3% battery power when I called Chris to see if he had Sparky's address. He didn't. He didn't have his information at all.
No, and I had his phone number. I gave you his phone number, but I didn't have his address.
I didn't have his address. I didn't have his phone number somehow. And so just as the computer was about to die, I went on, I think he texted me his address. He either texted me or Skyped me his address, and I wrote it down. And then the thing went dead. And so I didn't know how to get to where I needed to go, but I at least had the address. So I went to a gas station. I asked the guy if he knew where this street was. And he said, no, I don't. I said, well, is there any way you could help me look it up or anything like that? He said, no, I can't. And I said, okay, what the fuck? I used your bathroom. So he let me use the bathroom at least. And then when I came out of the bathroom, I saw him looking at his phone. And I said, "Oh, what's going on?" He said, "Oh, yeah, here. This is where you have to go." So he ended up.
Oh, he looked it up after all. That's good.
Yeah, he ended up doing the right thing, but it looked like for a while there that I'd have to go to a different gas station to get the address, you know. But fortunately, it was pretty easy to find once I was only like 2.5 miles away from Sparky's address when I was at the gas station and ran out of juice on my phone. But it's so frustrating. I don't know why my phone runs out of batteries so easily. It's like it's got to be something wrong with the phone. I don't know. Who knows? You know. But so anyway, then I found Sparky's place, and I was looking for the street number, and I like drove a couple houses too far because I was looking for like a red house. I thought it was a red house. It's not a red house. I won't say what color it is, but it's not a red house. And I like stopped and I said, what the hell's with the number here? And I said, and then I called out to a lady, hey, do you know where such and such number is? And I had to get out of the car. She couldn't hear me. And then she told me, yeah, it's right there. And then Sparky was out in his front and he was waving to me. So that was kind of funny. And it was a good time. We looked at the stars for probably, 3 hours maybe, two hours. And, you know, I saw a few shooting stars. And
after 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. We turned in like, I think I finally fell asleep at like 2:30. I feel sorry for the dog because I think my snoring must have bothered him, you know, Grady. He was in the same room as me. Sparky thought that, his snoring would bother me, but obviously it didn't. And I was snoring off the charts that night for some reason, you know, but it happens. So, yeah, it was a good time. It was great to meet up with Sparky and enjoy his hospitality. And then great to meet Roger for for a quick lunch.
I'm sorry. I missed
picture of the redwood tree.
Oh, yes, the redwood tree. Oh, his redwood trees are so awesome. Remind me when I was at camping at Big Basin Redwood State Park. I think founded in like 1903 or something like that. First California state park ever in existence. And my son and I were there, and we camped like between two redwoods. I tell you, it's just amazing, that feeling, and you just sleep so well. A very special place. And yeah, Sparky has like two redwoods that are like maybe, 5 feet apart, maybe. And you get in the middle of the two and then look up, and it's like amazing, you know. That was very cool, very cool. And then I also saw his memorial garden for his parents. The two plants that were planted on either side of the memorials by apparently blue jays or whatever, like palm trees, you know, very, very weird. It's like they're right there, you know, right next to each marker or whatever. And then one of the markers, his dad's markers, for some reason, starting to lean
more than weird
for no apparent reason. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. And then he showed me his, where the cows used to be and all. And apparently the herd has now been sold off and they're going to plant orchards there. It looks like apple trees. I can't tell though for sure.
No, it's a prune orchard.
Prunes? Who the hell likes prunes? What's wrong with them?
Prunes are good for you.
I know they are, but, too many.
It's a major crop that we grow here.
Well,
prunes are also called plums.
That's true. But if you eat too many, it gives you the runs, is what I'm saying. That's why people don't like prunes for that reason.
Oh, are you kidding me? No, the little sunsweet ones that are individually wrapped like little candies? Those things are heavenly. I love those.
I'm not saying they don't taste good. I'm just saying the effect is bad sometimes.
A do run, 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 a do run, run.
Yeah. But, hey, there you go. That was low-hanging fruit, so to speak, Chris.
Very good.
I think we should get a cowbell for that.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Oh, and by the way, Jude said, I'm filled with wonderful anticipation in our connecting tomorrow, Billable Rick. I'm
a quiet soul, yet real. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, too. We're trying to figure out what to do here because Brian's still got to get stuff set up. He's he'll have his computer set up all ready to go for the end of the day. We got to go to the store, buy him some, you know, basic stuff like, you know, just dish soap, dishwashing detergent, broom. You know, we need to get like a hex wrench that works to put together this Aeron chair that he brought with him. Or that I packed in the car, which was my that was my company during the 18-hour drive or whatever, you know, in the passenger seat. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Well, maybe we could go out to the Olympic Peninsula or something. I'm not sure how far away Jude is, but that's supposed to be pretty cool. It may be rainy tomorrow here though, like 50% chance of rain. So it may not be a great day for outdoor activities. Or maybe it will be if it's not raining too hard, you know?
Get a little slicker. Us Northwest people, we've figured that part out.
I know.
Get a little
rain
slicker.
I didn't bring any kind of slicker.
But it hasn't rained in Portland in months.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah, no. We haven't got any rain.
I was amazed at how much water there was in the Columbia River when I crossed over into Washington. I mean, it's just amazing, you know? And almost the Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a sight going over that bridge, you know?
It's a beautiful river. The Willamette is gorgeous.
The Willamette is, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I always want to say Willamette, but... I guess that's how they...
Oh, no, I got schooled. It's Willamette, goddammit. That's how I was schooled, by the way, too. It's Willamette, goddammit.
Well, oh, really? Chicago, is that it just like that?
The Chicago suburb spelled the same way is called Willamette.
Willamette.
It's Willamette. It's Willamette. I dated a girl from Willamette.
There you go.
She's the one who pronounced her home state as Illinois because she was bougie.
Ah, Illinois.
No. My fraternity brother was from Willamette. She was from Des Plaines.
Right.
Des Plaines, Illinois.
Jeez. Yeah. I knew a lot of people from Des Plaines when I went to school at Northwestern. It's a nice suburb, you know, a little bit pretty wealthy, actually, all in all, as far as the median income, that kind of thing.
When we get a lot of rain, though, well, that Des Plaines River, that's the first one to go overflow, flood.
Oh,
lots of problems with that river.
Hmm.
Yeah. Gotta keep those rivers in their boundaries, I tell you.
And I think I always get confused which town had the first McDonald's. And I guess, you know, Ray Kroc is from San Diego, correct? So I assume the first McDonald's must have been in San Diego. But I thought that maybe the first franchise is in Des Plaines. I don't know.
I watched that fictionalized documentary about Ray Kroc, and I don't even know if the first McDonald's was in the San Diego area, but I think it was. And then you know, one of the problems he originally ran into was when he franchised out, people started sort of doing their own thing, and you know, doing like pizzas and fried chicken, and that's where the standardization came from.
Yeah, okay. So the Horn research staff, maybe they can get on that. Where was the first actual McDonald's franchise?
It's already in the chat.
I think it could be Des Plaines. What?
It's already in the chat.
Oh, it's in there. Okay. Good job.
And what does the chat say for those of us not looking at the chat?
Kroc opens his first McDonald's in Des Plaines, Illinois on April 15th. The attention-getting red and white tiled building with the golden arches was designed, blah, blah. First day sales were $366.12.
Okay.
Which was a lot of money back then.
That was a good first day.
I'm so old, I can remember when McDonald's hamburgers tasted good.
Yeah, they used to taste good.
Well, I do know that in 1953, the Canadian Health Service apologized for having to charge my parents $1 a day for my hospital stay in Calgary because we weren't Canadian citizens.
They apologized?
They apologized for charging $1 a day.
Hey, we're sorry.
And that was like something like a 15-day hospital stay because I had polio.
Yeah.
Did they at least give your parents a Molson on the house?
I really don't know.
I was a moosehead. Hey.
They had a iron lung parked outside my room, and they'd come by and test it about every 4 hours to make sure that it would run if I needed it.
You should have partnered up with Mitch and gotten it for free.
I don't know. Maybe Ted Cruz's parents should have paid it.
Oh, yes, the Cubanadian. Hey, I need to say thank you because we're running out of time, but thank you to Brian. Brian, thank you so much. That gets us down to 1370 to end the week in the on schedule. So we're $371 away from not being four digits in the hole. So thank you, Brian. Thank you tremendously. It's also very helpful, and it'll be nice when maybe we take a little breather. I hope. And Jeremy, I have not forgotten you. I've been looking through my messages for salacious requests.
Oh no!
No, you're not.
Oh,
no,
Jeremy!
No, spare us, my Robin, because I think the goddess of irony struck me. It's a long, salacious story, but I'll spare you major details. About a month ago, we'll go back to January. My AAA ran out, and I'm like, I'll renew it down the line. I don't need it right now. No big deal. No big deal. I'll get it some other day. I keep forgetting to do it. About a month ago, one of the buildings I'm in was doing reconstruction. And about 2 weeks ago, my boss looks at me and goes, hey, in that spot you usually park in, I found about four bolts there about a week ago. Maybe you shouldn't park there anymore. I'm like, coincidence. Getting my truck on the way here, just after I wrote the email, the tire sensor comes on. Big fucking nut in the tire.
Oh, beautiful.
So no AAA. So normally I would entice you to tell a story for a couple bucks, but it just cost me $140 to get that tire changed out because I have no AAA. So.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No big deal. It is what it is. Got us irony struck. It's okay.
Well, okay, so you might enjoy this. I have, because this is real and for true. Hey, I'm on the promoter team at Name of Con, and we think you'd be perfect to promote our jewelry. If you're interested, we can send you three free pieces of your choice. You know, it'll be free, you know, except for there'll be like $50 worth of shipping and handling. And then they've got my number. There's only four spaces left. Oh, darn. I bet they're all gone now. Because I'm pretty sure that I'm not exactly an influencer yet, because I've got all of 1,078 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, but Robin, you're missing your chance to look like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I'm old and wrinkled enough.
Cowbell for that.
Well, thank you. You know, I already look like $1 million, green and wrinkled. Ha! I look like $1 million every year of it.
I think it's Rick still working on the desk there.
Yeah, we're working hard. We have to take it apart to the park and make it something fit.
You know, my eyes are getting pretty bad. I can't see real well. Is that you, Jimmy Carter?
What, Jeremy?
I said my eyesight ain't real good because we're speaking of Chicago. You know, Chris Farley? My eyesight ain't real good. Is that you, Jimmy Carter?
Oh, okay. Okay, missed that. That went over my head. So, hey, Ben, so why don't you answer your own question? You started out with the question, when is Donnie going to get the cuffs on? Are you still there, Ben? Did he take off? What do you think, Jeremy? Before or after November?
I honestly think after Labor Day. After everyone's back in school, after the holiday's over, people can focus on the news again. They're going to hammer him.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's, you know, I've been thinking about, I'm glad you brought that back up because I've been thinking about that, and I think Steve might be inclined to agree with me here. When it comes down to the work of a grand jury, neither the DOJ nor the FBI, and in particular, the DOJ, the FBI, you know, they're just potential witnesses in front of the grand jury. But the DOJ does not have the ability, unless Bilbo Rick or somebody tells me otherwise, they don't have the ability to specifically control the timeline of the work of a grand jury. And so if the grand jury decides on Monday that they find a true bill on Nitwit Nero, it might be placed under seal by the court, but that's the court's prerogative, not the DOJ. And Article 3 courts are independent actors. Now, the court could place it under seal and gag order everybody, but that would be on the court. Merrick Garland has nothing in that.
Now, that makes a lot of sense why Merrick Garland has been a little hesitant to pull the trigger on all this.
But the other part of this is that the DOJ can, to a certain extent, control the flow of information. And when you take into account that these documents were only seized a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking about a lot of stuff to sort through, presenting that documentary evidence to the grand jury is going to be a time-consuming process. And before you can even present the information to the grand jury, you've got to organize it in some sort of coherent fashion in the first place, and you've got to deal with the classification system. Because even though grand jury proceedings are secret in nature, grand jury members are not necessarily privy as a matter of law to that kind of confidential information. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But Robin, it was perfectly organized. It was spread out between his safe, his office, and the basement in boxes. I mean, how much more organized can you get?
Right. And there were little there were little post-it notes in there with Sharpie writing on them saying, "Loser, fucker, asshole."
And don't forget Rick Moranis, the Keymaster, was guarding the
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's only Zool. And by the way, I watched the... Annette and I watched the sequel to the Ghostbuster movies, the modernized one.
Mm-hmm.
The one where, like, the grandkids of the Ghostbuster. Darn good little movie. It was enjoyable.
As I said last week, if it turns out that Kushner's the snitch, he becomes the masturbator of the story.
Jeremy, Suddenly I understand why the bullets were where they were.
He baited his dad into saying all this stuff. I know this stuff. I mean, I don't mean it the way you guys are thinking. You're sick.
Oh, yeah.
I meant it in the mirror. He masterfully baited it into doing this dumb shit.
Hey, Dad. Talk into... No. Talk into the chrysanthemum, Dad.
Stop telling us which movies are good, Robin.
What's that?
Stop telling us which movies are good.
Oh, okay, yeah. Stop telling us which movies to write, Robin.
Give him a cowbell.
Okay, yes.
Jeremy does not get a cowbell.
No, Jeremy, there is no cowbell for Jeremy.
No.
Can I get one for my tire replacement so I feel better? That
yes.
Would be- oh, wait.
Oh, I was going to ask you, was a crazy... huge 400-pound maggot. Did they show up to change your tire?
Oh, super nice guy. I mean, probably good. About my size, probably about my age.
Okay, good.
He's lucky it stopped raining. So, I mean, I said cash or card. He said I'll do cash, but I can do card. I'm like, well, if they're going to charge me tomorrow with the cash, why not give him tonight? And that gave me a chance to give him a tip and say I bothered you Friday night because I'm stupid. Here you go.
Oh, and by the way, thanks to Irish Dave for sending this along. I thought this was the same, but it's not. Apparently, there's a new fad in America. Swatting marginal trailer queen. Apparently, she got swatted again early Thursday morning.
Excuse my ignorance, but what is swatting?
Okay, Christopher, swatting it's a colloquial term for what happens when someone places a false 911 call alleging, like, you know, hostage situation, murder, you know, guy with a gun, active shooter, and the cops have no way of knowing what's real and what's not, and so they act in force and they send the SWAT team to somebody's house. And so this is the second time in a week that that's happened to Marge. And Irish Dave asks, is Marginal Trailer Queen the girl who cried SWAT? That's good. God, she's such a SWAT.
Is that why she was saying that people were trying to kill her? Democrats are trying to kill her?
Oh, yeah. Whiny little bitch.
Because I hadn't heard that part of this.
And, of course, it's all centering around trans issues. This one looks like maybe she, I don't know, maybe she would make it up. It was routed through a suicide crisis center, and the person who made the call through the chat advised that they came out as transgender and claimed they shot the family. So that's someone who's in a, would nominally be in agreement with Marge. And so she got on Twitter because it all has to be about her. Swatted again last night. And,
does she really think anyone's going to feel sorry for her?
Well, I mean, it's a dangerous situation. And you know, the first one I mentioned, I said, you know, I can't take any pleasure in this. Because quite oftentimes when people get swatted, the cops show up and hurt some innocent person, because the cops are very good at hurting innocent people.
Yeah, but doesn't everyone remember how she trolled AOC and made fun of her when the maggots were coming after her?
Oh, yeah, or the fact that, was it her or Clanny Oakley who attacked Cori Bush? Or the other member of Congress who has a trans daughter?
It was her. It was Marjorie.
Yeah, she's a horrible human being.
Yeah, she went after, she went hard after, what's his name, Parkland.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
David
what's
Hogg.
His name?
David Hogg.
Yeah, David exactly. Hogg.
Yes. Yeah, she's a crazy bitch. In the first degree, first order. So, you know...
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong, Chris. I keep telling people this. She's not dumb. She's not crazy. She knows what she's doing. She's the idiot whisperer. She speaks their language. They listen to her. She knows.
And they
what
send
the
her a lot
doing.
Of cash. You're right.
They send her a lot of money. She's not stupid.
I agree.
Despite what we want to think about her, unfortunately.
That's right. And also, that makes it worse. That makes her a whole lot worse.
And we go back to what I said earlier. I wish someone would speak to her in very plain language and tell her to stop it. Of course, she won't stop it, but then there will be at least, you know, there will at least be a viable, forceful counter-argument. And, you know, in language that the average American can understand and use, as Bart Kopp used to say.
She's one of America's most dangerous, sarcastic terrorists.
Yes. I mean, she's upset about having been swatted when, in fact, she helped to incite a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States, a seditious insurrection on January 6, 2021. I don't approve. I don't approve of what's being done at all.
With the swatting, you mean?
Right? Yeah, with right. The swatting.
Yeah. I agree I assume.
But chickens swatting. Have a way of coming home to roost.
You reap what you sow. Karma. Karma's a bitch.
And then go watch. Watch how that woman walks, and then go watch the video of the pipe bomber, or the would-be pipe bomber. They're pretty similar.
Well, y'all, we have reached the. Hold on here. Let me check mail. Randy Radar says not cool. No, it isn't cool. Some innocent person could get hurt. Innocent people have been hurt.
Breonna Taylor comes to mind.
Yeah. And that was the cops acting on their own initiative. There was a case, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Two people got in an argument over a video game online, and one kid got swatted, and I think the guy got murdered by the cops. Hold on. Shorty in L.A. says, forget Robin, Jeremy, that was funny. So you've got at least one fan, Jeremy.
Oh, with the masturbator?
Yes.
Okay. The tiniest of ever slowest cowbell, maybe, Rob.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of reminds me of the name we took on the bowling team when I was in college, and we were the Cunning Linguists.
Oh, nice.
That was the speech communications bowling team, speech communication department at Humboldt State. I still have my T-shirt.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but it's hard to give a speech when you're picking all those short hairs out of your teeth.
Hmm.
Back in those days, they weren't short, they were long.
Oh, will you please? God.
Hey, it's true.
Ew.
Well, that ruined dinner in several times.
Oh, and by the way, thank you to an anonymous friend. We are now down to 1345. So thank you. Thank you so very much. And I guess it's kind of time to roll out of here. Anybody wanting to hang around or pop in for the back porch is welcome to, I suppose. It's been a lovely conversation. We've covered some good ground. And, you know, who knows what the weekend will bring. I get up every day now, and I have a sense of wonder. And, you know, I turn on the TV and my filthy morning habit and watch a millionaire catch up to things that we were talking about 5 years ago. 5 years ago that he's just now figuring it, throwing around words like fascism. Well, you kill the fatted calf for the prodigal son, right? Right. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a tough month, and we'll but thank you. And hopefully we'll finish it somehow to the good. I can only hope. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Remember, there's still a doubling offer out there courtesy of Zed in Iowa. 5 new subscribers get their first $10 a month subscription doubled courtesy of Zed. It's a nice incentive, and it's a kind thing that Zed does. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you all so very much this evening. To our a la carte contributors this evening. Our anonymous friend, Jude, Brian, Gino, Mary. Thank you all for helping to keep this all on the air. Thank you, Lady B. And I'm trying not to miss anybody, and I know damn good and well I'm gonna. So, I know I'm missing at least one person, and I'm sorry. Thank you, though. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this little long-running experiment and conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room and in the old holler tree. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way. 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to catch the first round of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, a proud union shop. Please stay safe, get your booster, wear your mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And if some blonde woman who's a little, just slightly less passable than Ann Coulter, comes burbling down the street hon, go to hell, Joe Biden! Avoid that insurrectionist twit like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.